Good morning again. Good morning. How many of you are ready for Christmas? Oh, that's good to see. Then you're ready for my message. See, that's what we're all about today. First of all, what I'd like to have you do is to read with me the scripture that I have for you today and the message that's based upon it. And I'm calling today's message, One Strange Christmas. Please read aloud with me. A voice of one calls in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it's written in the Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, I addressed the Wednesday evening group here that came for worship about a billboard that went up throughout the South a few years ago. And I was told in the article that I read that it had also been posted on some billboards up this far, but none of them had seen it. Had you seen this billboard anywhere? Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is to skip church. I'm too old for fairy tales. Anybody see it? Okay, well, maybe the article didn't really understand how far Milwaukee is north. I'm not sure. But it did. This was up throughout the South in the Bible Belt. In the Bible Belt. Could you imagine people driving around and seeing this billboard up? American Atheists, AA, is the group that put it up. And the guy behind it is David Silverman, and he wrote, "All children know churches spew absurdity, which is why they don't want to attend church. So in my opinion, Americans should just enjoy the time with their family and friends and not go to church." What do you think? When I was first in the ministry, I lived in the UP in a little town called Chatham. And the first year I went to the Christmas program, it was very much a Christmas program that was traditional, you know, with traditional Christmas singing, "O Little Town in Bethlehem, Joy to the World," this kind of stuff. Somebody must have complained or something happened. There was a change in administration. The very next year, they said they couldn't have a Christmas program. So you know what they had? A holiday program. Everywhere that you would have seen the word or the name Christ, it was switched out with the word nature. You know, hug a tree and kiss a squirrel kind of stuff. So I was at the program and I watched it and participated in as much as I could. But when it was all done, I knew what was going on. They had switched one religion for another. See what I mean? Nature-ism or animism for Christmas. We were still celebrating and worshiping, but it wasn't Jesus. So I wrote a letter. And it wasn't too much longer, and the school board superintendent called me up. And he said, "Thank you for your letter, but you realize you're a Lutheran pastor and you're biased." Do you think I'm biased? Come on. For Christianity? Me? Okay. But I told him, I said, you know, rather than having any kind of celebration at all at Christmas time, let's not do anything, because you're not going to be able to keep religion out of it. It's just not going to be Christianity. He said, well, we can't do that. We got to have something, see? Got off the phone, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm kind of offended. Then I thought for a moment, I feel kind of good. I stood up for myself. But later on that day, stuff going on at church and all the activity and getting ready for Christmas at home, it hit me. I'm being challenged. I'm really being challenged to make the most I can out of Christmas. Nothing to do really that much with the school, but with the congregation and more importantly with my family and myself, to make the most out of Christmas. And I began to realize I got a lot of ghosts in my life, Christmas ghosts of years gone by that may be keeping me from making the most out of Christmas for myself and for others. Lo and behold, in the midst of all of this, comes this guy. And look at him. He's a strange-looking fella, isn't he? He really changes things up. Does he look like Santa Claus to you? Thank you. He don't look like Santa Claus to me either. This guy's weird, different, unique. I'll even say extraordinary because of the role that he plays in the days before Christmas to shake you up, to make you think twice, to get you on your heels to think about the season and what it can mean for you and your spiritual growth. Am I keeping Christ in Christmas, or am I just walking a rough road? You know, like the one that John the Baptist tells us about. It needs to be made smooth for the coming of God in His glory. I don't know about you, but Christmas can be trouble. How many of you like to watch the Charlie Brown animated, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas this time of the year? How many times have you seen it? Take note in the very beginning. Take note this year when you watch it in the very beginning. You'll find Charlie Brown at a brick wall leaning on it, and he says, Christmas is trouble. Catch that? Watch it. He says, Christmas is trouble. And his buddy Linus says, only you, Charlie Brown, can turn Christmas into trouble. How many of you are Charlie Brown? How many of us make trouble out of Christmas? Think about it. Kids, they have a never-ending list of things they want. Is that trouble? Think about it as adults. Does Christmas hold the magic it did at one point in your life? Does it seem to have that joy in these days before Christmas, that real angst that we sometimes get? I just wish it were here. I wish Santa Claus was down the chimney and the presents were underneath the tree, kind of a thing. I tell you every year, and I don't know if any of you remember, but I tell you every year, Christmas exposes within each and every one of us unrealistic expectations. unrealistic expectations which say, guess what? Certain things will never be fulfilled in your life. Your life will never be complete. You'll never be fully happy because you'll never have everything you think you need to have the fullness of life you desire. Unrealistic expectations. I think Christmas brings out in some people this wandering. You know, John the Baptist in that way, this wandering in all of us. We're searching for glory. Not the Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to get healed up and win a game for you kind of glory. But this glory that says, I now know what life means, I feel good about it, and I want to share my joy with others. Kind of glory. None of us likes the kind of glory that says, you know, you got to suffer to get stronger. Don't cheapen grace. Did you get that? Sometimes you got to run a couple of miles a day if you're going to build up to run a marathon. Sometimes you got to study for months to take the final test in your physics class. Sometimes life is about going through hard and difficult times so you're prepared for the true glory that is God, that He's always with you. He strengthens you. He never leaves. He's always present. And He builds you up in that time of hardship, so that when the rest of life comes at you, you're ready. And finally, on the last day when the Lord should call you home, you can stand next to Jesus and say, to God be the glory. He was with me at all times and all places. The devil is really good at using Christmas to make us feel inadequate or incomplete, and therefore to bring you down and make you feel alone. In all of this, John the Baptist comes and says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent. Your crooked way of wandering makes straight. Know that the Lord is coming. He's coming. And is He not already here? Repent means to make a change in heart, in mind, in our lives, to make a change. And you as Christians are empowered thus to do because the Holy Spirit abides in you to make a change. What is it that's going on in your life today that's keeping you from the joy of Christmas? What is it that you need to straighten the way so that in the midst of life and all that's going on, you don't falter and misstep and wipe out? Is it sickness of some kind? Is it a money issue? A family disorder? A loss of a loved one? Is it an addiction? Selfishness or apathy? Or just unrealistic expectations? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. You don't recognize this, do you? This is double T down here, this way. You know, takes you north and south up to the highway, way down into Waukesha. Have you noticed all the road construction going on there this past year? Rip everything up, put new cement down. They're still working on it. See, when I go towards Milwaukee, I like to come down this road and, you know, get on Summit, take that way. That way just seems a little bit longer to me. 83. I don't know why. I'm only going maybe half a mile, but it seems longer. So I go this way. And I've questioned myself. Do I really want to go through that construction? Do I really want to deal with all the dump trucks, the rough road, the gravel, the dirt, the workmen? I don't want to hit any of them workmen, by the way. Do I want to go through that construction, or do I just want to take the longer way, weave and wind around, spend a little bit more time and gas? Do I really want to go through the construction? There's a spiritual analogy here. Do we want to go through what God is doing to us today? What's going to happen when they finish that project? Ooh, that's going to be smooth going. You won't catch me going that way. I'll be going that way. It's just a matter of getting it done. May not be easy now, but someday I'll understand. Folks, John the Baptist is kind of like one of them flag guys along the way. He holds up one of them orange flags, and he says to each and every one of us, prepare you the way of the Lord. You're under construction. Watch yourself. Be careful. The Lord is near. Repent. Take a close look at your life where God is at work the most. It may seem difficult now, but look at the person he's building up. And look at who you will be in the end. Let's do something just real quickly, if you would. You know, take your hand like this. We did this on Saturday night. Actually, the elder did it. I was happy he did it for me. Okay, now take a look at the hand. What is it that God is doing in your life right now that looks really difficult? It might even look like some kind of suffering of some kind. Something you're hoping that you don't have to go through, deal with, or whatever. And it's keeping you from thinking about Christmas, the coming of Christ, and all the joy that God has for you. Okay, put it in your hand and close it up. Hold it in the air. Go ahead. Hold it up. Hold it in the air. Okay? Lift it up towards God. Now, when you open your hand, palms up. Let the Lord take that. It's not like it's going to be gone completely, but if he takes it, what's he going to do with you? What kind of God do we have? He's a good God, isn't he? Kind and patient, willing to make a difference in the lives of his children for their benefit. The prophets in the Bible promise all mankind shall see the salvation of God and give him glory. It just comes to mind as I think about this. The true glory of God we find punctuated right here, right in this, the cross. We like to think about the resurrection and life everlasting, don't we? But look at that cross. Now think of the days that we have here before Christmas. Whatever it is that is the cross in your life, there you will find the true glory of God, God being revealed as a God of love, willing to give all that he is and who he is, down to the very blood of his Son, that you would be forgiven, released from the tyranny of sin, liberated to be made friends of Christ and children of God. These are the days. Now is the time. Repent. Little story in closing about Esther Jensko. Her birthday is on Christmas Day. I should say was on Christmas Day. You could imagine, I don't know, do we have any Christmas babies here? You could imagine that might be kind of difficult because you get half the presents. On the other hand, if you're really a spiritual person and you love Jesus, this could be a good thing to be born on the same day as Jesus. That's the way Esther looked at it, but Esther turned 100 one year on Christmas Day. She had four children, three of them had died. It's hard, very hard, for a parent to lose children. She had lost three. She had lost two grandchildren and one great-grandchild. She had great-great-grandchildren at the time. And I remember going to see her, and she said to me in the days of Advent, "I'm not really looking forward to Christmas this year. I'm turning 100, and I don't know why God doesn't take me." So I shared it with somebody in the church that Esther was going through some tough times. And I don't know, what can we do? So the person that I spoke to decided to get a group together, and it was a rather sizable group, for Christmas afternoon after church. We went over to the nursing home where she lived. We all went over there, and we celebrated Christmas with her. At a special room, we took her in, and we brought her the Christmas meal. I'll never forget it. Turkey, ham, and blueberry pie. Anyway, let's not. It was wonderful. And I saw her smile. And I went over to her, and I said to her, I said, "Esther, I saw you smile. Do you feel better?" And she looked at me, and she had a tear in her eye. And she said, "Pastor, this is what Christmas is supposed to be like. I appreciate my church." That made her appreciate her church, her suffering, her difficult time, the people in that suffering coming to be with her, celebrating with her, making it worthwhile. She said, "For a few moments, I forgot everything that was on my mind, and I'm just happy to be me." A week later, she died. A week later. Isn't that quite a story? This is us in the midst of these days before Christmas, God coming to be with us and giving us the true joy of Christmas in the midst of whatever we're going through to prepare us for what God is going to really make out of each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.